This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is the evening edition with Lee Chui Lin and Uma Pagan Ampike Pagan. And in our last story of the day, you might have seen this, Jelly MP Datuk Sri Mustafa Mohamad, who famously, quite publicly left UMNO. We did a whole show on it. It was a big deal. Now he has joined Parti Pribumi Bersatu Malaysia, or PPBM. And that has also caused, I suppose, an almost equal amount of uproar.
So first of all, is this a big surprise? A lot of people figured that Tok Pa, who is quite well-loved on both sides of the divide. I remember Ong Ken Meng had very nice things to say upon the handover of the MITI ministry.
That's what happens when you're capable.
Exactly, right? And so people assumed that he would be a natural fit into PPBM and maybe even the Pakatan Harapan government. But it brings up the age-old question of party hopping. And I think for the longest time, a lot of people have believed that, you know, people voted for you, and they voted for, in our democratic system, they voted for your party, right?
Yes.
So if you do intend to hop parties, then maybe you should stand for elections again. It shouldn't just be so easy, because I may not believe in the same things that PPBM believed in when I voted for you.
Yeah, so I feel pretty torn on this, because I do think, for me personally, it feels unethical to drag your electorate along with you.
I'm with you on that
because
one,
because I think if my MP decided to jump, I would feel the same way. I would definitely be like, what are you doing? I did not vote for that. Having said that, no more by-elections for a while, please, and thank you. You know, so it is a bit of a mixed bag. I feel a certain way, but the logic and logistics of the situation demand another sort of reaction.
Also, the conversation in the Malaysian context goes to a different place, because for the longest time we've heard rumours and stories, though none of them have been proven, rumours and stories of people being bought.
Yes.
With regards to changing parties.
Always during very fraught situations.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And so in that sense, people have, well, there's a sincere lack of trust when it comes to MPs hopping parties, right?
And it's understandable. Like I said, it usually happens at what everyone feels to be a tipping point.
Correct.
And I think it's those circumstances that causes real feelings of anger to come up. In this case, I don't think it's so much anger as it is shock, simply because you have somebody who was a pillar of a community who's now gone, actually, I don't feel comfortable with this anymore.
So long.
Yeah, bye. And then, you know, hopping over to your neighbour.
Yeah, so, I mean, before we speak to Ben from Merdeka Centre, I think it's important to note there's a lot more rumours that have come out since this. There have been rumours of, you know, 40 more UMNO people talking to PPBM. You know, UMNO people, when we spoke to Kelvin earlier, our producer who was at Parliament today, he had made the point that all the UMNO Supreme Council people are like, no, we're confident our party members are going to stay, don't worry about it. But I think it's going to be an interesting point, because the number of MPs that switch over is going to change the balance of power within Pakatan Harapan as well.
Yes.
Because Parti Bersatu only has so many seats. So it's not just a question of having a two-thirds majority, but also the party dynamics within that alliance. So fun times for politics.
Genuinely fun times. Also, interesting ethical conversations that have come up from this. Let us know what you think. WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. If your MP were to suddenly decide, so long, how would you feel about that? Would you want them to would you want them to give up their seat? Would you want there to be another election? Or are you really done as we have been with by-elections? In the meantime, let's head over to the lines where we have Ben Sufian, Program Director over at the Merdeka Centre. Ben, it's always good to have you with us. So the news of Tok Pa crossing over, of course, brings up, as we were talking about, that age-old debate of whether an electorate votes for the individual or the party that he or she belongs to. What have been your observations on this?
Well, you know, it's hard to pin down whether it's the candidate or the party. Many people who feel that a candidate should resign if he or she chooses to cross the aisle to join another party put it that people vote because of the party that the candidate belongs to. But it really is hard to determine. And I think on this matter, one has to refer to the law and how electoral politics are practiced here. At the end of the day, a politician is not restricted to leaving an existing party and joining a new one. We have seen that happen many times. Both sides, people from the ruling party going to the opposition and people from opposition going over to the ruling party. It's a matter of ethics, but certainly it's not illegal.
And what are those ethics? Are there guidelines that state whether an MP can keep his seat if he chooses to cross to another party?
Well, there are discussions that if an MP wishes to leave a party that he or she belongs to, she ought to resign from the party and also resign as an MP, and then only after that join a new party. But given the way the laws are structured in Malaysia, that once you resign as an MP, you become ineligible for 5 years. You know, that's not likely going to happen. So in some ways, it's seen as restrictive on an individual's freedom to associate with any particular group, particularly if they no longer believe that the group carries the values that they espouse, that they share, and therefore they want to leave. So it's hard to pin down, but you know, the ethics is that if one were to cross the aisle or leave the party, one ought to resign and then recontest, you know. And I think, but the problem is that in the current context in Malaysia, once you resign as an MP, you are not able to contest immediately, and that puts you out of circulation for many years. And sometimes it's not really the fault of the individual, but perhaps the fault of the party that they belong to. So I think in the current context, it has to be seen on a case-by-case basis. The voters at large have the ability to decide whether or not the act of changing the party is one that ends up delivering more good than harm or otherwise.
So Tokpa says that he made the cross so that he could better serve his constituents if he were part of the federal government. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, there are, I think, two levels of looking at, you know, the two Mustafa Muhammad crossing the aisle from UMNO to Bersatu. I think first and foremost, as an individual, yes, he is indeed from UMNO. He has been with UMNO Kelantan for 40 years. And generally, from the work that we've done, you know, surveys and so on, a fairly widely respected leader from UMNO in Kelantan. And so for him, you know, I think he has an obligation to serve his constituents, to serve the public in Kelantan, and he feels that it's better suited for him to change with the times and go with a new party. And we've seen people leaving PAS for PKR and other parties in Kelantan as well. And that hasn't really created much of an uproar. I think the reason why, but then this is my second point, the act itself isn't illegal, not wrong. Maybe some people may question the ethics of it. What about the voters that voted for UMNO there? But I think the second part is, you know, deals with the realities of politics in Malaysia. If you are not in the ruling party, you are at a severe disadvantage in trying to fulfill your obligations to your constituents, trying to bring development projects, and also bringing the attention of the federal agencies to the needs of your constituents. So there is a practical excuse for someone to actually change party and serve the public there. So, I'm of two minds about it. You know, on one hand, I understand the ethical issues that play up, particularly amongst Pakatan Harapan supporters, because they wish to see no people from UMNO crossing over because they believe that many people from UMNO are tainted. But on the other hand, I'm also concerned about the needs of the constituents, for people in Jeli, which is a fairly underdeveloped district in Kelantan. I think they deserve the attention of the government as much as people in other parts of the country.
So, Ben, let's talk about Tok Pa's popularity in Kelantan. I know it's still very, very early days, but could we see Tok Pa being the one that could help flip the state?
Well, I think it's still early days, you know, because at this point in time, he's pretty much the sole Pakatan lawmaker in the state, and the rest are either UMNO or PAS. And I think it's still going to be a long way before one can think that he can spearhead Pakatan's expansion in Kelantan. But I think if you look at the national level politics, Parti Pribumi Bersatu or Bersatu, you know, has only a handful of leaders. And I think Mustafa Muhammad's crossing over to join Bersatu, I think, brings added strength in terms of the resume and work experience, as well as the credibility for the government, having been, you know, serving as a minister for many years and having generally a fairly decent, reasonably good track record as well as a minister. So I think he brings some positives to Bersatu. and also strengthen the lineup of the Malay leadership within Pakatan Harapan in the contestation for the future, for the hearts and minds of the Malay electorate. But as far as I think Kelantan is concerned, it's still very early days because Pakatan Harapan, Bersatu, PKR and others are relatively thin on the ground compared to PAS and UMNO. And if we look at how the parties fared in the May general election, Pakatan barely received 10% of the popular vote in Kelantan, and therefore it's an uphill task for him to surmount.
And as we mentioned earlier, it's been reported that as many as possibly 40 UMNO members are considering a crossover. Would all crossovers be welcome if it means getting those numbers up for government in parliament?
I think that is what is widely speculated. You know, I think stems from Datuk Khadir Jassin's statement in the local press, and it was picked up and talked about as 40 people contemplating crossing over to PVBM. We're not really sure how these things play out. As we understand, politicians, you know, in all parties, in UMNO or other parties, tend to belong to different cliques or different factions within the party. And 40 is a very large number out of the 50-odd members of parliament that UMNO still has in their midst. And so 40 is a very large number. I am not sure whether all 40 will eventually cross the aisle. I think some people will be persuaded to change hats and join PPBM or another party's hat. But I think if their rival faction member is joining another party, I think there's more chance for them to do better by staying on. So my sense is that ultimately, if this exodus does happen, not everyone is going to shift over to the new party, but some will stay back and try to fight it out and move up the ranks and fill up the vacuum that has been left by those that have departed.
So UMNO Sekjen Anwar Musa said in Parliament that the reason why Bersatu is trying to poach UMNO parliamentarians over is because PPBM has the lowest number of parliamentarians in the coalition, and that makes it, I suppose, the weakest party in terms of number when it comes to the Pakatan Harapan government. Is there something that we can read into with the statement? Does it perhaps give us a view of the politics that are happening within the Pakatan coalition?
Well, you know, I think within Pakatan Harapan, the two leaders that will be, you know, vying, I wouldn't say vying for, but the two leaders that are at the top is, you know, Dr. Mahathir and Anwar Ibrahim. The question is, you know, how will the transition play out? What types of policy changes can one foresee take place when Anwar eventually does take over? And at the same time, what will be the fate of Dr. Mahathir's PPBM as it moves into the future? I think even before we look at that, look at the statements that were going on prior to the Port Dickson by-election, statements by certain UMNO leaders espousing support for Anwar Ibrahim. UMNO did not put a candidate there, and allowing Anwar Ibrahim a relatively victory in Port Dickson. So all of these are signals that are given out ostensibly to show support and coordinate moves in order to, I think, gain some certain favorable treatment in the future. So having said that, there is also the reality that, as I said earlier, PPBM only has, you know, slightly more than a dozen lawmakers in its midst. And I think they need to find ways to make gains for the future election and also ensure the stability of the party. And therefore, I think there is a likelihood that they may try to recruit existing MPs from UMNO to come and join them in the future. As things currently stand, there are a number of UMNO MPs that have already become independents. I think a handful of them have become independents, and they might be considered Pakatan or PPBM friendly as well. But I think as the days go on, we might see further concretization of this commitment, that they are not just going to be independent, but I think some of them are going to join the party. And I think how it is going to be carried out will be very delicate, because PPBM will need to account for itself. It needs to assure its coalition partners that it is not trying to recreate an UMNO 2.0 or UMNO 3.0 by just bringing wholesale people from the old party over to theirs.
Ben, thank you for joining us on the show. That was Ben Sufian, Program Director of the Merdeka Centre. Now, before we close this off, if your MP were to make a move and be like, bye-bye, what would you want to see Just as a citizen, as somebody who voted for that person, what do you want?
So I think it depends. I think if my MP were to say, I'm becoming independent, I'm leaving the party, I think I'm okay with that because my MP is Hannah Yeo in Sagambod. And I think I was voting for her based on her manifesto, a set of principles and what she believed in, right? For whatever that's worth. However, if Hannah said, I'm joining UMNO, then I may be like, what's going on here?
That would be an what's going on so many levels. I don't even have the words.
I thought it was a good example.
Yeah, I think what I would want to see is, I want to see your position then. If you're going to be flipping, if you're going to be moving over to something else, then I need to know why. I would like to know clearly why and what you stand for so that I know whether or not I voted for a lie. I think that's how
point.
I would feel.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, let us know. That WhatsApp is 018-789-8899. And we have got football coming your way after the 8 o'clock news. So stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.